So, like Sister Sherry said, I felt impressed to share with you a little bit about some of the tests and trials that I had gone through when I was your guys' age. And I started off, or grew up in a wonderful Christian home. I had a godly heritage, wonderful, solid foundation, but that didn't stop the devil from coming after me. There was a period of about 4 years in my life that was, it was a testing time for me. It was my junior year in high school through my sophomore year in college, about age 16 to 20. And it was just a dark, troubled time in my life. I wouldn't say that I backslid. It was just kind of a testing time. I was trying to find myself. It was just a dark time. And I got disillusioned. And it started with some hurtful issues involving people who came to church here. You kind of think that everybody's on the same plane. Everybody's saved. Everybody's going to treat everybody nice like they should. And that doesn't always happen. And there were some issues that were going on. And I was like, you know, this isn't right. And you kind of start looking at people and I really struggled with it. Then you have relationship issues. My boyfriend at the time, he broke up with me once or twice or three times, and it seemed like the end of the world to me. Looking back, it's really silly considering that we're married now, but at the time it seemed like a big deal to me. I allowed these things to make me negative and critical, which is really dangerous. When you let the devil start planting those seeds of negativity in your mind, everything just seems awful. Everything is bad, and it just affects everything in your life. You start picking at people in the congregation. You start picking at the singers. You don't like what they do. You start picking at people in the youth group, and it's just a dangerous place to be. I remember Sister Corder had approached me at one time, and she said, "I'm really worried about you," and it just made me mad. Just kind of to show you, I was just not in a good state of mind at that time. I felt like I was in a dark pit, and I just couldn't get out of it. And later, reflecting back, I think I was on the verge of depression, or maybe in depression a little. I kind of became self-destructive. I didn't really care about myself. I made unhealthy choices. I didn't eat right, didn't sleep well. I just ran myself ragged. I just made myself really tired with my schedule, and I didn't have time. It was pretty much so I didn't have time to think. I was on a collision course, and that's right where the devil wanted me to be. Really, the real issue, I can blame a lot of things, but the real issue was that I had taken my eyes off Jesus and I was watching the people around me. That was the real issue. Instead of letting God use the trials to make me stronger, I had allowed the devil to get me sidetracked. So this spiritual state leaves the door wide open for the devil to play a lot of tricks on you. And so I wanted to share with you a few of the tricks that he played on me. The first is that he likes to lie a lot. He'll tell you that, or at least he told me, you fit in better at school than at church. You know, the people at church, they don't treat you right. The people at school, at least they're nice to you. And that's a trick. He's trying to separate you from your youth group, from people who really do care about you. No one understands. How many of you have heard that from the devil? No one understands you. I have no friends. I said that a lot. And my mom, she'd pull out her Bible and she would quote to me Proverbs 18:24. Does anyone know what I'm going to read? Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So when you want to say that I have no friends, at least in my case, I had to turn around and look at myself in the mirror and be like, okay, what are you doing to reach out to people? What are you doing? And a lot of times I kind of would put a wall up. And when you do that, it makes it really hard to approach somebody like that. And so really it was my own fault that people weren't, maybe they were reaching out to me and I just wasn't paying attention. But you put up a wall and it's hard to get past that wall. So some people kind of just might avoid you because they don't know how to handle it. So like I said, it's a dangerous spot when you allow the devil to start telling you these lies and you start listening to them, because he wants to separate you from the spiritual influences in the youth group, spiritual mentors in the congregation. And there's a certain amount of accountability when you're around God's people three times a week. There's a certain amount of positive peer pressure, maybe, to keep living right. You want to live up to those expectations, and those are good expectations to live up to. The devil would tell me, you know, if I just went away, no one would miss me. And that's not true, because no man is an island. If I had made certain choices, those choices would have affected a lot of people. And that was a lie, because the devil knew if he had knocked me out, not that I was anybody special, but it would have affected people. It would have affected my siblings. It would have affected some of my friends here. there was the devil would tell me the temptation, go to school, get a career, you're going to be somebody. You know, go show them, those people that maybe didn't treat you right, go show them. And what would that have really got me? Would that have made me happy? Absolutely not. It wouldn't have. It would have just made me want to do more, strive for more worldly fame, maybe, in the sense that you're trying to be somebody big. The devil, he sent along a lot of distractions. I mentioned one already, is stay busy. I forced myself to be so busy with work and school that I didn't have time for much else. I crammed my school schedule really full, and when I wasn't at school, I was at work, and when I wasn't at either of those two places, I was sleeping. So that was something that I did, was I would stay really busy. And I started pulling away from the youth group. I preferred to be with my college friends, with my work friends. And then another big trick that the devil sent my way, another big distraction, was male friends. He sent around several guys at different points in my life as distractions, and they usually appeared at a very spiritually weak moment. It's going to be somebody maybe attractive, someone charming, someone who makes you feel really good about yourself. I'm really thankful I didn't date with any of them, but I was tempted. I was very tempted. The devil, he'll tell you, just have a little fun. It doesn't have to be a serious relationship. You don't have to marry them. Just go have fun. Somebody to hang out with. What could it hurt? Considering that I could have ended up marrying one of those, that could have hurt a lot. Don't ever date anyone that you would not consider marrying. Right. Because once you get involved in a relationship, it's really hard to put aside those feelings and maybe break it off if you feel that's what God wants you to do. It was only by the grace of God that I wasn't caught up in this trap, and I'm very thankful. Many young people that used to sit here in this room with me, they got caught in that trap, and they're nowhere to be seen. They're gone. They're a wreck. They're divorced. They've got kids. It's very sad, and I'm very thankful. I feel very unworthy that God protected me from that. When you think about when you're thinking about dating someone who isn't good for you, someone who isn't saved, ask yourself, is it really worth it? In the grand scheme of things, is it really worth losing your soul over for that person who really in the end, if you end up marrying them, it could be really miserable and you may not even end up liking them. Is it really worth it? My life would be so different if I had gone down this path. It seemed like I had to wait for an eternity for a husband. I think maybe God thought I needed a lot of patience. So I waited and waited, but God blessed me with a wonderful husband, and he was well worth the wait. I'm very thankful for him. It's such a blessing to be able to work together for God, come to church together, and help each other grow spiritually. It's a blessing. So all of that caused me to do some soul searching. I asked myself, you know, what's the purpose of life? Why am I really here? Is this really the life that I want to live? Do I really want to be a Christian? Do I want to wear skirts all the time? Do I want to not do all these things that, you know, seemed to be all these rules? Do I really want to live that way? Does God even care about the way I'm feeling? Because it sure doesn't feel like it. Where is God? You know, I'm asking all these questions. And often, sometimes, I wonder if I hindered anybody while I was out there searching for myself. I think of a... I'm sorry. I had a coworker who passed away recently, and her and I worked really closely together during this time. Sometimes I wonder, did I do anything that maybe hindered her, or was I the Christian I should have been? Could she see Christ in me, or was I so caught up in myself that maybe I lost an opportunity to talk to her? You never know who's looking on, I guess. So it's just something to think about. So I began to realize that I was drifting away and I needed to get back on track. So there were several things that I did, or God helped me with, to get back on track. And the first one was a spiritual mentor. You got to find somebody that you can talk to. And maybe that's your mom, maybe that's your dad, maybe that's a Sunday school teacher, maybe it's a pastor, maybe it's a friend's spiritual mom. I had a friend who would tell me, she's like, I'm going to borrow your mom so I can go talk to her and get some spiritual advice. And you want somebody who's living a godly life. You want somebody who's had experience with these things, these trials. And in that case, it was my mom. And I remember she sent me an email one day. And it wasn't a warm and fuzzy email at all. It was pretty brutal, pretty honest. But it's exactly what I needed. And it kind of really shook me up. And kind of made me like, okay, I need to get my act together here. I need to get myself straightened up. So the second thing you've got to do to get back up on track is you got to let go, and you got to let God work. So once I finally made the decision just to let go of whatever feelings of bitterness, of the anger, of unhappiness, I had to let that go and let God work. Let go of the self-pity. I did that a lot. You know, poor me. Look at me, poor me. So when we try to figure out our own problems, we try to fix them, we make a big mess. And we only get in God's way. The best thing to do with our worries and our problems is to take them to God and leave them there, and then you gotta wait for Him. You gotta wait for Him to guide you. And that's a lot easier said than done, I know. Been there, done that. You gotta realize that you are what you eat. So if you eat worldliness, that's what you're gonna become. You're gonna become worldly. One thing that that I would turn to when I was upset would be worldly music. I like to go for a long drive, turn my worldly music on, and it usually put me in a worse mood. If I was sad, the sad songs made me sadder. If I was angry, the angry songs made me more angry. And that was kind of one of the things that I used to do. And as dull as it sounds, as dull, gospel music really is much more uplifting. And that's why the devil wants you to think that it's dull. When I was your age, I was like, Mom, why do you play this church music all the time? This is driving me nuts. But there's nothing like an old Church of God hymn that'll brighten up your mood. Gospel music will make your burdens a little lighter because they remind you of God's love and they'll encourage you. Worldly music, it's going to make your burdens heavier. Like I said, it's going to make you more mad, it's going to make you more sad, make you feel worse. I remember Sister Anita Allen, she had come to a Friday Night Young People's one time, and she had challenged all of us to do a worldly music fast. I'm not going to lie, I laughed. I'm like, okay, whatever. I can't do that. I think it was like a week, 2 weeks. I don't know. You're shaking your head. You remember how long? A week. Okay. It was tough. I'm not going to lie. No worldly music whatsoever. And I, one of the things that helped me was one of my friends, Sister Ashley Lake, her and I were pretty close, and we had to keep each other going that week. Because it was really hard, but you ought to try it. You'll be surprised. The first couple of days, it's difficult. But by the end of the week, you'll be surprised at how your mind has shifted into thinking. You know, when you get upset, you're all of a sudden, you're thinking about encouraging songs, and it makes your week more positive. You ought to try it sometime. So what are you reading? What are you watching? One thing actually right now that I have to watch myself with is reading the headlines. I mean, what's the news? It's not anything bad, right? But if you read headline after headline, and I don't know about you, but there's not too many positive headlines that I have found. After a while, I just feel weighed down, just kind of depressed. So the things that you watch and the things that you read, if you do a lot of that, you are what you eat. You're gonna become what you think, or what you're watching, what you're reading, what you're thinking on. Bible reading and prayer is a big one. You hear it, I'm sure, all the time. I heard it all the time. But this is really my personal Achilles heel. When I was a young person, I really struggled taking the time to read and study like I should. And I wish I could go back and change that, because you guys right now have the most time that you will ever have to study the Bible. When you get older, when you get a job, it's harder. When you go to school, or if you go to college and you got a job, you don't have a whole lot of time. And then you have kids, and then, you know, you're reading a verse, and then this one wants a drink, and you're reading another verse, and then you kind of forget where you're at, and it's pretty difficult to actually get in a whole study. I was trying to read the Revelation booklets a while back, and it's challenging when the kids are awake. But you ought to take advantage of the time that you have right now to really dig in and find those answers for yourself. Why do we do the things that we do? Why does God want us to, you know, whatever those things are? And I know that the youth lessons, I'm sure a lot of you go through those in your Sunday school class, those are really great tools to go through. They're on our website, and they answer a lot of those questions, and it's a good, at least a good starting point, give you a lot of good verses to think about. The devil fights hard when it comes to prayer and reading, because prayer works, it really does, and the Bible is our source of spiritual strength. The kids' song says, read your Bible, pray every day, and you will grow, grow, grow. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you will shrink, shrink, shrink. It is true. It's very true. Your friends. So who are your friends? You will be more, you will be like those who you surround yourself with. Do you feel more spiritual or less spiritual around your friends? Your thought life. To have a positive thought life, it is imperative that you think on good things. The more you think on the negative, the more negativity that you're going to have. And it just, it, like I said, it just kind of envelops your whole life. Everything becomes negative. Philippians 4:8 is a good verse to run a filter through. Anytime you're, you know, anything that you do, anything that you say, you think on, run it through this verse and see if it meets the criteria. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Another thing that really helped me get on track was being accountable to someone else. So I've already mentioned Ashley. Her and I were good friends. And at this time, Ashley had just lost her dad. So she was going through a really tough time too. So we're going through tough times together. We're being negative together. And we finally were like, okay, we really need to get our act together. It really helped having someone else to pray with, someone else who we could talk about spiritual things. That out in the world, you're not going to have someone, you know, when you tell them your problems out in the world, your school friends aren't just like, okay, let's pray about it. So it's really good to find someone around here, a spiritual friend who's going to help you. So her and I started what we called our PJs, our prayer journals. And kind of turned into more of a scrapbook. But we would write our, so one, we have two notebooks. And so we had them for a week. And we would do prayer requests. We'd write in our prayer requests. We would write diamonds in the rough, which was really a testimony. Find that good thing in the rough week. Studies for a spiritually sound mind. Things to do, things to accomplish, and just a thought. This really, really helped both of us because it forced us to think on good things that week. It forced us to find a Bible study that we could share with someone else. It forced us to, we were writing our prayer requests down to pray for other ones. Another really cool thing about this is that I can look back and I can see such spiritual growth. I was reading through it the other day, and the first couple of months, you can see a lot of pain, a lot of heartache, a lot of whys. You get to the middle, and we've got studies, like Bible studies. You can see how we kind of were progressing. And we actually still trade these about once a year. And so now the last entries are, I am so blessed. Look what God has done for me. Look where God's brought me through. He's done so much for me. And it's really cool to go back, see the prayers that God's answered. And I know this is kind of girly, so maybe, guys, this won't work for you. But really, it really helped, Ashley and I. And I still keep a prayer journal. I don't share it with anybody. Every once in a while, I'll send Ethan a picture or something. But I still use it just to keep myself on track, to keep myself focused. And I love just to go back and I'll go back after a while and I'll highlight all the prayers that were answered. And it just strengthens your faith. It helps you to see that God really does care. And he does answer those prayers. I'm sorry, I really didn't mean to cry tonight. Okay, where were we? Getting back on track. Okay. Hold on to the promises of God. Did you know that there's over 5,000 promises in the Bible? And they're all yours if you want them. If you'll take hold of them, if you keep reminding God, he will keep those promises. So I had a lot of verses, but the three that still come to my mind all the time. Psalm 84:11. It says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. So when you think that you're having to wait forever, God's not answering your prayer about a boyfriend, a husband, not answering your prayer about, you know, what to do with your life. No good thing will God withhold from you. So remember that. Romans 8:28, and we know all things work together for good. To who? Them that love God. And if you love me, keep my commandments. So to those who keep God's commandments, all things will work together for good. The third one was Psalms 37:4. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. This was the scripture that I would quote to God, like he didn't know. Like, hey, God, remember all the desires of my heart. And I had asked myself one day, it's like, what do I really want in life? Do I want a career? Do I want, you know, what do I really want? And it all came down to, I really wanted a happy home. I wanted to be a mom. And I wanted to stay at home with my kids. So that goal in mind, that's what I worked towards. And so I would be praying, like, God, my desire is I want to be a wife. I want to be a mom. That's my desire. Where is my husband? Where is he at? And God finally, he did keep that promise. I learned a lot of patience, and he kept that promise. I remember Sister Quarter was telling us in a lesson one time, and I don't even know who she was talking about, but there was a saint who used to put TP in their Bible. You go through their Bible, TP, TP. I'm like, what is TP? TP means tried and proven. And I started doing that recently. It's like you go through and you read a promise and God says, I'll give you the desires of thine heart. TP, tried and proven. I have proven that to be true. So all of that led up to getting a real experience with God. Really, as a teenager, I didn't have a real experience. Yeah, I came to church with my mom and dad. I participated in all the youth activities. If you would ask me, yeah, I was saved. I was saved, but I wasn't really working hard enough for it. My mom and dad were involved in church things. My mom and dad were saved. That didn't matter. My experience wasn't based on their experience. I had to get it for myself. I had to settle in my heart that I was determined to live right no matter what. It won't just happen. If you just sit back and wait for someone to spoon feed you, it's not going to happen. You have to work for it. You have to really want a close relationship with God. Your spiritual mentor, they can talk to you all day long. They can tell you what to do. They can give you advice. But if you really don't want it, if you're not really listening to them, it's not going to happen. You have to get it now. Don't hope that it just happens when you get older, when you get married. By then, it could be too late, or you could have a lot of baggage, a lot of scars on your life that's going to make it really, really difficult to work through. If you wait till you're married, you've got kids, you might have to work through an unsaved husband. You might have to get through maybe habits that you've picked up along the way. It's a lot easier to start now when you don't have all those bad habits. You haven't started smoking, you haven't started drinking, you haven't, like I said, you don't have a husband that's unsaved who's going to be fighting you all the time. It's easier to do it now. You have to get to the place where it doesn't matter what other people say or think. I've been reading, or recently I had read in the New Testament, kept coming across the verbiage, I am persuaded, and it really hit me hard, because that's what you have to be. You have to be persuaded, because someone might come along and say, you know, that's just a joke, or you might see somebody who maybe you have confidence in, and they fall. They give in to temptations, and you have to have it for yourself. You have to be persuaded that no matter what, if my mom and dad, if they quit living for God, if my friends stop living for God, I'm going to do it no matter what, because I know that God will take care of me. I know that God knows what's best for me and that this is the best life to live. So Romans 8:38. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Timothy 1:12. That little saying shows up there too. I'm going to read it from the Amplified. It says, still, I am not ashamed, for I know him, and I am personally acquainted with him, whom I have believed, with absolute trust and confidence in him, and in truth of his deity, and I am persuaded beyond any doubt that he is able to guard that which I have entrusted to him until that day when I stand before him." I liked what it was said there. I am personally acquainted with him. He is my best friend. He is my friend. He is there all the time. You can't tell me that there is no God. You can't tell me that this is a fairy tale, because I feel it right here, because I've been there. I've seen God move. I've seen God heal. I've seen God save people. I know that feeling. You can't dissuade me that this feeling isn't real, because I feel it here. I know the change that Christ has made in my life. I used to be cold. I just remember when I look at this time, it just felt cold and dark when I reflect over these 4 years. And I'm not that way anymore. God brought joy. He brought happiness, peace, and contentment. That's kind of like my motto, is peace and contentment. Because you can't put a price on that. I can go to sleep at night and I don't have to worry about what's going to happen, or I don't have to worry about this and that, because I have peace. I wouldn't trade this life that God's given me for anything the world has to offer. So God, he does have a plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, or the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "To trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he might, he could, no, he will, he shall direct thy paths." Looking back, I can see how God, he guided my life. There's so many different crossroads you get to, you know, after high school. Do I go to college? Do I not? Do I get a job? Do I take this job? So many different crossroads. And if I had taken just one wrong turn, I could be a completely different person. I'd have a completely different life. And it's really neat to look back and see how God just guided me. For instance, when I went to get a job after high school, I went to a job fair. I went with, I think it was Ashley. I wasn't even looking for a job. I thought, I'll just get a landscaping job or something for this summer and then go to school. And I met these people there. They worked at a credit union and said, "Hey, why don't you be a teller? Why don't you come interview with us?" And so I got an interview. And as I was walking out the door, my mom's like, what credit union are you going to?" And I was like, "I think it's Fiberglass." She's like, "Well, there's one across the road. You might want to check and make sure which one you're going to." Well, here to come find out, it wasn't Fiberglass. It was the one across the road. Here I got the teller job. Ended up being the perfect job for me. It was absolutely perfect. I loved working there, and it was just neat to see how God, he just had directed me. I wasn't even looking for a job, and here it just kind of landed in my lap, and I was able to reach a lot of people. I met a lot of people that changed my life for the good, and that was good. So the choices that you make in the next few years are going to determine the course for the rest of your life. So your friends, some of them, they may get you in trouble, or they might encourage you to live right. Help each other through some, Ashley and I, like I said, we helped each other through some tough trials, and she helped remind me of what was important. "Hey, you coming to Young People's tonight? Hey, keep your chin up. Hey, I'm praying for you. Hey, let's pray right now. Let's pray over this." Or, "Hey, I really need some encouragement today." It was, like I said before, it was really great to have that spiritual friend, that friend here at church that kind of kept me accountable, that kept me going. And it wasn't just her. Like I said, it was God that really helped us, but it was good to have a friend along the way. Like I said, God led me to the right job. I could have made more money. Once I got out of college, I could have made more money if I had maybe went to Columbus or further away. But then that brings a whole new set of issues. It would have been a lot harder to quit my job once I had a family. And like I had already told you, that was really my ultimate goal, was to be a stay-at-home mom. And so that job was just really perfect for me. College. Do you stay home? Do you go live on campus? For me, I stayed home, and there were a lot of days I came home, I needed to talk to my mom. I'm like, "Hey, mom, they said this and this and this, and I know that's wrong, but you've got to show me. You've got to show me in the Bible. How's that wrong? You've got to show me." If I had went away to campus, there would have been a lot of worldly influences. I wouldn't have been able to handle it. I wouldn't have gone to the gym in my culottes. I wouldn't have... You don't have that accountability. There's a lot of people there that don't know you. No one knows that you're supposed to be wearing skirts all the time. I wouldn't have been able to withstand that pressure. And two, another thing to think about is if you go away to college, a lot of times they will try to hook you up with a job that is close to college a lot of times. So if you go out of state to go to school, good chances is you'll probably get a job out of state, and then look where that takes you. boyfriend, girlfriend, we talked about this. The wrong one could result in a lot of things. Child out of wedlock, it could result in difficult marriage. And then you have the really big decision of marriage. Being married to the wrong one is worse than being single for the rest of your life. Marrying the wrong one could result in a miserable life. You'd be arguing about spiritual things and convictions. You got children involved, and then maybe it ends up in divorce. Now you're a single parent. It could just really get sticky. It could really get tough. It will be very hard to be the Christian that you should be when you have such a battle at home. It doesn't have to be like that. God, He has someone who will truly love you. He has someone perfect for you, someone who will build you up, someone who will compliment your weaknesses and help you to work together for God. Even a good marriage is difficult sometimes. My husband and I, we have an awesome marriage, but there's times when we don't agree. There's times when things come up that are we really have to work through. And why would you even consider starting off your life, starting off a marriage with the wrong person, or starting off your marriage without God? It's tough, and it'd be a whole lot, it would be a lot harder if you don't start with the right one. God wants you to have a happy and peaceful marriage. He just wants you to be patient and open to His will. So when I was 16, my husband was 14, and he had a crush on me, and people would tell me, and I laughed. Yeah, right. I will never like that little guy. He's shorter than me. And you see where we are now, and I'm thankful for him. So it boggles my mind when I look back and see how God, He guided my life. I sometimes wonder, why me? I look at people who were sitting in here with me, and they made wrong choices. We seemingly all started on the same path. We were all in here together. We were all dressed in the same. We went to the same activities, but they made different choices, and they are so far from where I am. Some of them, their lives are just an absolute wreck, and I'm like, how did you do that in 10, 12 short years? How did you get so far off track? And it's not anything I did. It's all God, and I'm very, very thankful. I feel very unworthy. So maybe you messed up. Natalie, Sister Natalie, you're telling me about this wonderful life, and I've already messed up. Now what? What about God's perfect will? What do I do now? Well, success, they say, is getting up just one more time than you've fallen. And sometimes that means you got to go back to where you got off track. So maybe if you started dating the wrong person, maybe God wants you to go back and break that off and start from there. Maybe that means continuing where you are now, but with a new outlook. Change your mindset. Maybe He wants you to start thinking on a positive note, thinking a different way. Your job is to seek the answer, and your job is to stay open to God's will. God will turn your test into a testimony. It's embarrassing a lot of times. Sometimes I don't even like to read this journal because it's embarrassing to go back and see the things that I thought and the things that I thought were like such a big deal at the time, and just the way I acted sometimes. It's really embarrassing. But it was a journey that I had to take to get me to where I am now. I firmly believe that nothing just happens. Every trial has a lesson, and it's your responsibility to find what that lesson is. Psalms 138:8 says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me." We have to get past our feelings to find out what God is trying to teach us. And one of the journal entries I found in here, I was looking through it this weekend, it said, "Is this trial a stepping stone or is it a stumbling block?" And the answer depends on your attitude. An attitude is a small thing that makes a big difference. So are you going to let this trial build your faith, or are you going to let it knock you out? Without a doubt, all of the trials that I went through as a teenager and young adult helped. Without a doubt, all the trials that I went through as a teenager and young adult helped to bring me to where I am now, helped build that foundation that I stand on now. I'm so thankful for all that God's done for me. Like I said, He's greatly blessed me. And if you let God work through your trials, He will turn your test into a testimony. And He's no respecter of persons, so if He did it for me, He will do it for you guys too. So I hope that somebody got something out of that.